If we had a sign that said only perfect people allowed, this would be one big empty factory. Because we all have our issues, but we work through our issues.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, I'm Joshua Halleck, your host at Straight Talk Radio. On behalf of Pastor Mark and the whole Straight Talk team, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. We get comments all the time about how people are being blessed through the work here, and it just delights us to know that we're a small part of your spiritual journey. We'd love to hear about it. Have you been blessed by the program? Do you have a story to tell of how God's used a message from the Bible through this program to bless your life? Or maybe you have a question, or there's something that's really bothering you that you'd love to hear Pastor Mark talk about or to have answered. Write to us at info@straighttalkchicago.org. You can send us an email at info@straighttalkchicago.org. Let us know. It means a lot to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Glad to have you with us again. Pastor Mark continues with the second half of his message today called What You Know Changes You. Our text will be continuing on in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Let's join Pastor Mark for this edition of Straight Talk with his message called What You Know Changes You.
When God gave you the Holy Spirit, He sealed you and He said, this person belongs to me. How do I know it belongs to you? Because I sealed them. With what? I sealed them with my Holy Spirit. They are my possession. Oh, I know sometimes they don't look like they're mine. Oh, I know sometimes they don't act like they're mine. Oh, I know sometimes they don't talk like they're mine. But I want to guarantee you, they are mine. I have bought them with the price of my only begotten Son. And I put the Holy Spirit inside of them because I'm hanging on to them. And I'm guaranteeing that what I started, I will finish until the very end. I'm not going to stop working in their life. I'm going to keep working in their life. Why? Because they are mine. They have been bought with a price, the price of the only begotten Son of God. That's why I love the Holy Spirit. He says, until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of God's glory. You see, all that God is doing in your life is to the praise of His glory. Now, some of you think about that and you think, well, is God selfish? No, God cannot be selfish. Listen, I want you to hear me well. The reason that God does this is for the praise of His glory and not just for you. You change. And if what God did, He did for you only, then when you were unworthy, He would take it away. But God does what He does because He is God. And He does it out of His character. And because God is God and God doesn't change, whether you change or don't change, God doesn't change. And so God continues to be good even though you're not good. Why? Because it's for the praise of His glory, and His glory is unchanging. He continues to be merciful even when the world doesn't deserve mercy. Why? Because it revolves around His character. His character does not change. And so it all revolves around His purpose. It emanates from His character. It's for the praise, the manifestation of His glory. And all that God does is to reveal His glory and His power to ourselves. Now, then Paul goes on in verse 15, and he prays a prayer that's one of the most powerful prayers in the New Testament. And again, I want to remind you, what Paul is trying to do is help his listeners or his readers understand who they are in God so that they can live to their ultimate potential in God. Verse 15, he says, for this reason, for what reason? Because you are chosen, predestined, sealed, and deposited in God. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. I want you to notice the correlation. Your love, your faith in God, and love for the saints. And I talked about last week, you understand who the saints are, right? The saint is not St. Jude or St. Paul or St. Teresa. You are the saints. Saints are the people of God, people called by His name. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you've been set apart unto God, therefore you are a saint now. Oh, I know you may not always act like a saint, but you are a saint. That when he's referring to, so who are the saints? The people of God. He says, I heard about your faith, listen, and your love for the people of God. Hear me well. Look up at me. This is really important. You cannot love God and hate God's people. Once in a while, I'll run into someone that says, well, me and the man upstairs, we got our thing going. You know, I pray, he talks to me, you know, we're chummies, we're buddies, but I hate the church. I don't believe in organized religion. And I always say, join us, we're disorganized religion. I think you'll like us. But listen, it is inconceivable that you love God and hate the people that God loves. When you come to Christ and begin to love God and have faith in God, you will start loving the things that God loves. And one of the things that you'll start to love is the people of God. You will begin to gather a new appreciation for the family of God. There is no such thing as someone that's strong in faith and strong in God, but never wants to associate with the people of God. Because as you grow in your faith, you will also start to love the family of God. Oh, they'll irritate you at times. And oh, they'll aggravate you at times. And oh, they'll frustrate you at times, just like your own family does. But you will love them. And the more you grow in faith, the more you will grow to love the people of God and the house of God and the things of God. Amen? Amen. So he says, I heard about your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. Verse 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I just want to say this, by the way, and pause and say, I've had the privilege of pastoring one church for 25, next year it'll be 25 years that I've been pastoring. Most pastors jump around quite a bit, or pastor here and pastor there, and leave and go and come. The average senior pastor usually lasts about 5 years in their church. I've been in one church 25 years. Yeah, and I like it. But I want you to know something about what's kept me going. First of all, a call of God, an irrevocable understanding God has called me. Because there's been certain times where I haven't liked doing what I do, but I know God's called me. How about it? Sometimes as a parent, you don't like parenting, but you know I need to parent. It's a call of God, I know. But I want you to also to understand, listen, I thank God for this church. And I thank God for you. And I've been around some leaders and pastors whose children grow up and don't want to go to church. Whose family turns away and walks away from God and church and the things of God. And sometimes they do it because they grow up and they don't like the church. And sometimes they don't like the church because their parents don't like the church. The church does this and they're hurt and they're five. I've run into so many pastors and people that are hurt and wounded by leadership in churches. But I want you to know that one of my greatest joys is to see you grow in Christ. One of my greatest joys is to see people like Mike and Juliet dedicate their child because they're living for God and walking in God and growing in God. It's one of my greatest joys. And I thank God often for you and bless God for you and keep a spirit of thanksgiving. And I love this church and I love the people of God in it. And what that does is it makes me, when I think of this place, I don't think of, if I'm out of town, I never think of, oh, I got to go back to Chicago. When I think of Chicago, I say, ah, I can't wait to be back in Chicago. The Apostle Paul is saying to these believers, hey, when I think of you, I thank God for you. Full of thanksgiving for you. And by the way, can I tell you this, if your parents, listen, If you're being aggravated by someone in the church or things about the church, if when you're at home you speak negatively about the church and the people of God and the things, and let me tell you, there's always little ears that are listening. And if you're not careful, you can turn the very kids that are in your household against the church of God, because all they hear is the little problems that you're having, and sister so-and-so, and I can't stand this person, I can't stand this person did this, and this person. And your kids will grow up thinking the church is the enemy. I don't want to be a part of the church. So be very careful how you talk about the church of the living God. Amen? Be very careful. We need to be encouraging about the church. Oh, we all have our issues. How about it? Just say, I have my issues. And I come to this church. If we had a sign that said only perfect people allowed, this would be one big empty factory. Because we all have our issues. But we work through our issues. We love each other, challenge each other, tell each other to grow, confront each other when there's sin, lift people up when they're falling away, call people out. It doesn't mean that we don't confront. It doesn't mean that there's going to be not going to be challenges. But that's part of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. And Paul says, I pray these three things. I keep asking God, the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. By the way, I want you to notice that there's three there. God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit's reference to the Trinity, the triune God. We only worship and follow one God, but one God that's manifest in three distinct persons with three distinct functions. You say, I don't understand it. Well, welcome to the mystery of the triune God. But when I pray technically to the Father, not to Jesus. I pray to the Father, but I pray through the mediation of Jesus, because he died on the cross and gives me access to the Father. And I know what to pray because the Holy Spirit helps me know what to pray. So it's three persons working and praying. I pray to God the Father, who hears my prayer. I pray through the mediation of Jesus, who paid the price on the cross to let me come to the Father. And I pray through the Holy Spirit, who gives me the understanding to know what to pray and how to pray. It's one God, three persons, and distinct functions. That's a whole nother message. And he says, I pray that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled What You Know Changes You. It's from our series called When You Believe, Everything Changes. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information about Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. His message, What You Know Changes You.
Wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation. Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. Revelation is the unveiling of things that have been hidden up until that point in time. I need practical application of understanding how this knowledge is applied, but I need the unveiling of truths that up until this point in time, I have not understood. My prayer is that when you come to this church, there'll be a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you'll walk away from this place saying, aha, now I know how to apply this better. But that you'll have moments where you'll say, aha, I never understood that, and now I do. Wisdom and revelation. So Paul prays three things. That you may have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, ultimately for what purpose? So that you may what? Know him better, so that you may know God. And then he prays for three things, and I have to run quickly through these three things. Number one, I pray also that the eyes of your heart, did you know that your heart has eyes, may be enlightened. In other words, that your heart may be opened, that the eyes of your heart may be opened in order that you may know what? Say it with me. The what? Hope to which he has called you. There's three things that you need to understand that Paul prays for. He prays that you may know hope. He prays that you may know the riches. And he prays, and he also prays that you would fully and completely begin to understand the power of God. Hope, riches, and power. Now here's where I'm going to go. Stay with me. You need wisdom and revelation to understand hope, the hope that he has given you. Listen to what he says. I pray that the eyes of your eye may be understanding, that you may know the hope which he has called you to. Listen, do you know what hope is? Hope is the understanding and the expectation of a better future. Hope is a confident expectation of a better future. Hope is to look forward with confidence to that which is good and beneficial. Paul prays, I hope that you understand the hope of your call. Listen, you may not understand it right now. You may not fully grasp it. But I want you to understand and grasp this. Listen, you have a future that is hopeful. You say, well, the economy's bad. I don't care. You have a future that's hopeful. Well, I have bad arthritis. I don't care. You have a future that's hopeful. Well, my marriage is struggling right now. It doesn't matter, because God is in control. And when God is in control and he's sovereign, there is hope in your future. There's an expectation of a better future in your life. You have that hope. It's the hope of your calling. Oh, it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that it's going to be simple. But listen, you're going from glory to glory to glory and being transformed to the image of Jesus. There is no such thing as a believer that... To be a believer means that you have hope. To be a believer means that you have the expectation of a better future. Listen, I'm not building a bunker in Montana with a bunch of water and some sort of and tuna cans in there waiting for doomsday. I'm not doing that. You know why? Because I have hope. That God is in control. And I understand the hope of my call. That my hope is from glory to glory to glory. That ultimately God wins. That ultimately I can trust him. That ultimately we are headed to a future that's much better than what we've known in our past. That ultimately we will be transformed into his image. That ultimately we will be cleaned and washed. That ultimately mortality will give way to immortality. That corruption will give way to incorruption. That ultimately God, the sovereign God of the universe, holds all of this in his hands. So therefore, I am full of hope. It's a hope of my call. Secondly, that you may know riches. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Oh, some of us live like we're paupers, but we're children of the Most High God. Some of us act needy when God has given us so much. Listen, you may have needs, but never be needy. That you may know the riches of the inheritance in the saints. The moment that you came to God, the moment that you accepted Christ, you ceased to be a needy individual, and you became an individual that is a child of the King. Oh, it doesn't mean that you won't have to struggle here on earth. And it doesn't mean that you won't have issues here on earth. But listen, you have an incredible inheritance that's coming your way. It's about your future. An inheritance that you can't even imagine, fathom, or even begin to describe. It's the inheritance of God. And he says, I pray that that the eyes of your wisdom and revelation, that you would begin to realize what a great inheritance you have in God. What's coming your way? That there's something that's coming your way. That you will see some of it here on this earth, but the majority of it in glory. But it's coming your way. It's an incredible inheritance of the saints. God says, I pray that you would understand that. Hope and inheritance. And then number three, listen. Verse 19. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul says, I pray that you understand hope. spiritually. I pray that you understand the riches that are yours already and coming your way. And lastly, oh, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be open and that you would receive Holy Spirit revelation about the incredible, dynamic, supernatural power that is at work already inside of you. You have the power of the resurrection living in your body and in your spirit right now. You say, well, Pastor, I can't. I can't overcome this. I can't stop this. I can't forgive. I can't overcome this habit. I can't have victory. I can't change. Stop moaning about what you can't. Let me ask you this. Do you realize you have the power that raised Jesus from the dead? The power that when he was placed in the grave, this power came upon the corpse of Jesus. This power fought off death. This power healed the wounds. This power raised him up, fought off the demons of hell, raised Jesus up, that very same power that has victory over death, that very same power that laughs at the face of the demonic and Satan and death itself, that very same power is inside of you. It lives within you now. It's resurrection power. And Paul goes on to say, hey, this power, listen, it's the power like the working of God's mighty strength. This is the same power that was exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and he seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms. And it's this power that took him far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the age to come. And it's this power that God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This power is your power already. It's already been given to you. You say, well, I don't know. I just don't have it. No, it's not that you don't have it. It's that you haven't accessed it because it's already yours. You can walk in your house and say, my lamp doesn't work. And you can shake the bulb and you can hit it. And you say, I just have to live in the dark. You say, I have no power. I have to light candles. So you light candles and you walk around barely seeing this dark, depressing house. And then someone walks in and says, how can you walk around candles? I have no power. They look at the lamp and say, why don't you just plug the lamp in? You've always had the power. It's not a matter of the power's not there. It's a matter of understanding the power, plugging into the power, and beginning to live in the power that has already been given to you in Christ Jesus. That power that raised him from the dead. That power that raised Jesus up to the right hand of the Father. You have been resurrected from your own life. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. He has placed power in you to have dominion over demons and over other authorities and powers in your life. And he has given you innate authority and power to overcome things. Why? It's the power of God already in you. Now step into your power. Start living in your power. Start walking in your power. Oh, if the people of God just simply understood the power that they already have. If the people of God just began to live as people indwelt with the Holy Spirit and the power that they have, how this world would change, how your life would change, how our community would change if we understood the power that lives inside of us. And I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. This was the second half of his message entitled, What You Know Changes You. It's from our series called When You Believe Everything Changes. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for part 3, Made Alive. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.